Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Would you turn to the book of Romans? Book of Romans, chapter 5. And if you will look at verse 8, I'm reading from the New King James Version. What a beautiful day today, huh? Man, beautiful. Thank the Lord for just a beautiful day. Thank all of you for pardon my voice. Thank you for coming out tonight. I am doing better. Thank the Lord for that. We're looking at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. If you're with us, say amen. Amen. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, having now been justified. The word justified means just as if you never did it. That's not like you would get that definition from a Greek scholar, but for a lay person like you and myself, it's just as if we never did it. That's what that means. So let's read that again. Much more than having now been justified. How are we justified? How is it just as if we never did it? How? Through his blood. We shall be saved from through. There you have it. Now look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. That's just a big word for peace. In other words, God made peace with us even when we were enemies. He made peace through us. How did he do that? Through the death of his son. Much more. Here that is again, the second time. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Notice it didn't say we're going to be saved by our performance. It says we're going to be saved by how? His life. Father, we thank you for your word. Now bring our hearts and our minds together to receive it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Paul is saying in these three verses, here's what he's saying. If God loved us and died for us when we were ungodly, how much more does God love us now that we are born again? That's what that means. Okay? See, we not only got saved by grace, we also maintain. Everybody say maintain. We maintain our relationship with God through grace. See, everything that you get from God, you get it by the grace of God. In other words, you got salvation by his grace. You get healed by his grace. You prospered by his grace. Everything that we receive comes from the grace of God. Notice that none of the benefits of salvation are based on our performance. We are saved by the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, thank you. If we understood how much that God loved us, our faith, brothers and sisters, would go through the roof. If we got a revelation of how much that God truly loves us, we would start seeing the benefits more than what we're seeing. Because we wouldn't look at it through the eyes of our performance, we would look at it through the eyes of grace. I'm not here because I'm worthy to be here. I'm here because he has made me worthy. And his blood covers all of my sins, and he gives me his righteousness. It's the great exchange, my sin for his salvation, my fear for his faith, my weakness for his strength, my sickness for his healing. Does that make sense? See, most people believe that the Lord loved them when they were a sinner. They believe that, you know, the Lord loved them when they were a sinner, but he gets harder on people once they get saved. Okay, I'm going to make that make sense. Let me explain. What would happen if a drunk man came into our service tonight? What would most people do? I would hope that we're at a level of maturity that we would try to minister grace to that man. I hope we're at that level of maturity, that we would minister grace to that man, that basically we would tell that man, look, hey, Jesus loves you just as you are. You can come to him just as you are. You don't have to have any performance to come to the Lord. And if you get honest and ask God to forgive you, he'll do it. He'll do it right now. I hope that we're at that level of maturity, right? But let's say what happens, let's say he does. Let's say he comes to an altar, he repents, he gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Man, he gets baptized in the name of the Lord. And then the next week he comes back and he shows back on our pew drunk again. Now, I would hope that we would have the maturity to minister grace to him again. Okay? But let me tell you what I grew up in. Here's what I grew up in. If that man that we had ministered grace to, because he was a rank sinner, he was drunk, and God loves you just as you are, and the grace of God is here for you. What I grew up in is if that man came back the next week and was drunk, here's what I grew up in. Brother, you better make it right, because God saved you and now you're sinning and you don't want the wrath of God on you. That's what I grew up in. So here's what I want to show you. The beginning, we would let that man know that it's not based on what you've done, sir. It's based on what Jesus has done. God wants to forgive you and cleanse you. But the second time, what we would do is we would tell them, God's going to get you. You better change your ways unless the wrath of God comes on you. That's how I grew up. So you can see how inconsistent that is. While we were sinners, God extends us so much grace. But once we get saved, basically God cuts us off and you need to get it and you need to get it quick. I wish I had three people in here that at least give me a nod. Right? So, you know, come to Jesus just as you are. But boy, once you get saved, just know that God's got your number now. And it's amazing how that we can come to Jesus and sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. And he can come or she can come in the midst of their lying, their cheating, their dope dealing, their drug abuse. They can come like that and we don't have any problem with it. And God can fill them with the greatest gift ever known to mankind. But after we're born again, now we got to start earning things. It flips. It changes. Grace is great when you don't know him. But once you get to know him, it flips on you. Now, let me ask y'all this question. How much did you all read the Bible before you came to Jesus? How many of you tithe regularly before you came to the Lord? How many of you came to church before you came to the Lord? Most didn't, right? It's doubtful that many of us read the Bible and tithe and really came to the church much before we came to God. But guess what? One day we did come to church or came somewhere, right? And we heard the gospel and it pricked our hearts. And we said, God, forgive us. Fill us with your spirit. He did that. We were baptized in his name. We were born again. And guess what? We became new creatures in Christ. But here's the point. Salvation has by and large been preached that it's grace up until you get to know him. But then once you get to know him, it becomes works to maintain the daily relationship with God. I know y'all have to have time to think about this, so I'm going to let you think on it. But this is really what I see. It's grace coming in, and then once you get in, now we flip it, and it becomes works in order to maintain your performance. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, if you would, please. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, do what? So walk with him. What does that mean? Here's what this means. As you therefore have received Christ, I received Christ by grace, therefore do what? Continue to walk in that grace. So what got me in is what's going to keep me in. What got me started on the journey keeps me walking on the journey. It wasn't performance that got me in. It was the grace of God that got me in. So then I don't leave grace at the altar and pick up works now. I keep with grace and I keep walking in my daily relationship with God through the grace of God. That's what that verse means in Colossians. That makes sense? But that's not really what we believe. We believe it's grace to get born again, but then we flip and we believe it's works to stay in a maintenance mode with the Lord Jesus. And this is why it's getting harder for Christians to believe in healing than it is salvation. Okay, I'm going to say this again. Why it is harder for many Christians to receive healing than it was salvation? Because we can believe that God can forgive us of our sins, even though we were a ranked sinner. But we think we got to do something in order for him to heal us. The same grace that saved you is the same grace that can heal you. Jesus didn't go to two Calvaries, one for your salvation and another for your healing. He shed his blood once and for all for both. And we receive salvation by grace and we receive healing by grace. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. It's all the grace of God. So technically speaking now, it ought to be easier to receive healing after we're born again than it is to receive salvation when we were lost. You say, why? Because we didn't pray before we came to the Lord. We didn't tithe. We didn't give. We didn't know anything about God. We just come to the Lord without one plea. And we just believe the word of God that, hey, if we come up in honesty and ask God to forgive us, he'll do it. Amen. He did it. He gave us the greatest gift he could ever give us, the power of the Holy Spirit. It changed our life. Boom, we're saved. Now we come back, and now that we're saved, we think God flips, and now he's real hard on us. He really loved us when we were a sinner, but he don't like us that much now that we're Christians. That just don't make sense. Right? It doesn't. So technically speaking, healing ought to be easier than even salvation. Because at least now we're in it. We've got his name. We got his spirit. We've got his blood. So now it ought to be even easier to receive healing than it was salvation. But here's what we do. We flip. We no longer believe it's a work of grace. It's a work of what we do. Now it's performance based. See, in actuality, healing is not any harder for God to do than save you. And in fact, there was a man that walked in and the Lord looked at him and he says, your sins be forgiven you. And man, they started chattering. Who does he think he is to forgive sins? Nobody but God can forgive sins. And God looked at him after he'd forgiven his sins and said, oh, by the way, you're healed too. For me to forgive your sins, is that's not any harder for me to say, take up your bed and walk. I did it. It's all by a work of grace. Just making sense? Okay. I'm talking about, here's my subject. Motive is everything. You can do the right thing for the right reasons and you're still going to get, you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons and you're still going to get the wrong results. It's all about your motive. It's all about your motive. See, instead of trusting God, what we're doing is we're trusting our own effort and we're hoping that Jesus will make up the difference. Okay, I know we're teaching tonight, but I want you to stay with me. After we get saved, it's no longer just about what Jesus has done. It's what we do plus what Jesus did. Now, we don't say that. We'll never say that. But here's basically what we taught. It's all Jesus until you get saved. And then once you get saved, it's Jesus plus you. Okay? It's Jesus saves you, but then it's what you have to do to make up the difference for what Jesus is thinking about doing. Now let's see how good you are. Let's see how faithful you are. Let's see how much you give to the church. Let's see how you serve the junior high class. And then if you do all of that, then we'll see if you're good enough to get healed. So it's all Jesus when we come to him, but then it turns into Jesus plus us after that. Now it's based on our performance. So it's our performance plus Calvary equals our results. And this, brothers and sisters, is where the enemy is getting us. He's getting us to put our faith in our own performance. And then what that does is, here's what that does. We can never come to the Lord feeling good about ourselves. We always come to him thinking about what we haven't done. Man, I should have prayed more this week. I meant to fast and I didn't do it. Man, I should have taught that Bible study. Okay, can I keep going? Okay, look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 18, please. Romans 5 and 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So even through one man's righteous act, look at this, the free gift. See, what does that say? One man's righteous act did what? The free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Okay? What is that? What is that? A free gift. You were taught, and I was taught, the free gift was salvation. And it is. But Romans 5 and 18 tells us that the free gift is righteousness in order to justify us in the sight of God. So I didn't just get God's Spirit when I got him. I got his righteousness. How did that happen? Because he took my filthy rags, the great exchange, and he gave me his righteousness so that I can come to him without one plea, regardless if I didn't pray like I should have prayed. He still loves me because he loves me unconditional. See, and this is what we have a hard time getting. He loves me unconditional. So even if I didn't pray 30 minutes, it would have been good that I prayed 30 minutes. But he still loved me even if I didn't pray 30 minutes, because he's not going to love you anymore if you pray 30 minutes. And he's not going to love you any less if you pray 30 minutes, because he loves you unconditional. Now, should you pray? Yes. But I don't pray so that I can get bonus points with God so that he'll move in my life. See, I got to do the right things for the right reasons. Does that make sense? See, righteousness, brothers and sisters, is not something that we attain through works. It's a free gift. I can tell you are thinking about that. Okay, can I go deeper? All right. Fasten your seatbelt, it's fixing to get bumpy. All right, here we go. All right, so brothers and sisters, here it is. If you can handle this, you can handle it. If you can swallow this, you're going to be all right. And if you can't, I don't know if we're going to see you again. Hope to, love to, but I don't know. Here it is. You ready? So if our holiness isn't what gains us favor with God, then why bother? If our holiness isn't what gains us favor with God, then why bother? Now, I'm going to let you ponder on that just a minute. But let me ask you this question. If God was looking for the holiest people, then why didn't he choose his disciples from the scribes and the Pharisees? Because they were considered the holiest people. Why did he choose Matthew, Peter, James, and John? Matthew was a tax collector, didn't even know God. And yet God called him a disciple. Peter, James, and John were fishermen. And you know how sailors' mouths are. So nowhere in the scripture does it tell us that they got saved and then he called them. Doesn't say that. So if he was looking for the holiest, then why didn't he choose the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Because they were considered the holiest. Let me ask you this question. If holiness is what moves God, then why don't the holiest people that you know have the most miracles in their life? Think about it. Because God doesn't give miracles to the holy, he gives miracles to the hungry. The way you receive a miracle is not by how holy you are, it's by faith in Christ and what he did, not based off of what you did. See, the Pharisees came based off of what they did. God says, you missed it. I won't even call you a disciple. You missed it. You missed the whole thing because you think it's what you do. He said, no. All right? So now, let me answer this question. If our holiness, here it is. If you can handle this, you're going to be okay. If our holiness doesn't earn his blessings and my performance doesn't earn his blessings, then what purpose is holiness and good works? What's the purpose then if it doesn't do anything? All right, I'm going to answer that. Paul gives two reasons. Look at Romans 6 and 2. Here it is. You can't preach grace. Y'all get this. You cannot preach grace without the question coming up, then why shouldn't we continue in sin? Because when you preach grace, you're going to have to answer that question. Because grace is so radical, it begs the answer then, why can't I continue in sin? Paul addresses that in three different chapters. Okay? Are you with me? Here it is, Romans 6 and 2. Here's the answer. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I would suggest that 85 Christians do not believe what I'm fixing to tell you. Here it is. The first reason why a Christian doesn't live in sin is because we're no longer by nature a child of the devil. And I would guarantee you 85% of Christians do not believe that. See, when you got born again, God totally changed your nature. What didn't change? Your flesh. If you had zits before you got God, you got zits after. If you hated math before you got God, you still hated math after. Right? If you were 6 foot tall before you got God and came to the altar, you were still 6 foot when you got him. Right? Nothing in your body changed. Nothing. Here's what else didn't change. Your mind. Your mind didn't change. Did not change. Didn't. That's why you could have gotten the Holy Ghost and go right back out and cuss. Because you hadn't renewed your mind yet. What changed? Your spirit. Now you are one-third sanctified just like Christ. When you get to heaven, you know what's not going to change? Your sanctified spirit. Not going to change. Why? Because it's perfect. What is going to change? My body. I'm going to get a new body. What else is going to change? I'm going to get a new mind. This mind sees through a glass darkly. His mind, I'm going to think like Christ. I'm going to have a body like Christ. But my spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is already made perfect. Think I can prove that through the scripture. Okay, so my nature has changed. You say, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, then I'm going to make my case. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Here it is. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, that's not what I'm looking for. 17, pardon me, I probably told you the wrong verse. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? new creation. What has happened? Old things have done what? Okay, when we say someone has passed away, what do we mean? Come on. They died. When the Bible uses that old things are passed away, what does it mean? It means your old nature is dead. It's died. And behold, what? All things become new. When we were born again, ladies and gentlemen, God didn't make us a better version of our old self. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man died. Say, I don't believe that. Well, I could give you another verse. It's in the Word of God. You were crucified with Christ. When Christ was hanging on the cross, he looked at you as though you died with him. Your old nature died when you received the new nature of Jesus Christ. Most of you believe that. That's awesome. So the first reason is we are no longer by nature a child of the devil. Here's the second reason. Look at Romans 6 and 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? This is Paul speaking to the Romans. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. The second reason why we live holy is because holy living will stop Satan's inroads into your life. If we're living in sin, then we're yielding ourselves to the author of sin. And the author of sin is the devil, and the devil brings distress and death and destruction into our life. See, this is why the Bible says, give no space to the devil. Why? Because if you let him just a little bit in the door, you open it up, he'll come right on in. Right? Is this making sense so far? So the reason why we don't sin is because we don't want to give the devil inroads to our life to bring about death and destruction. Is this making sense? Okay. Now, I want you all to understand, I am not advocating that we don't need holiness. I'm saying we want holiness for the right motives. The reason why I live holy is not because, well, God, I live holy for 30 days. You ought to really be proud of me. I want you to move in my life, God, like never before. And that's the wrong motive. I don't sin because I don't want to give myself as a member of unrighteousness. I want to keep my vessel clean so that I can hear God and walk in his ways and be sensitive to his voice. Right? So I don't want to give any space to the devil, but I'm not living holy. In other words, I don't come to him and say, God, I've really been holy, so I'm really expecting your manifestation. Wrong motive. Can I keep going? So what I'm saying is our motive for holy living is not to get God to accept us. We live holy because it's our nature to live that way. And we don't want to give the devil access into our life. But here's where we've come to. And I'll try to wrap this up. Here's where we come to. We come to what's called sin management. And that is, we want Jesus plus the drink. And Jesus plus a little toke. Y'all didn't get that? A little toke on some dope. We get a little Jesus, a little dope. We all be happy. Right. Little Jesus and a little sister on the side, you know, So this is where we come to, because anytime you sin, you are believing a lie. Anytime. Because here's what the devil does. Yeah, you got Jesus, but you need a little dope to make you pick you up. You got Jesus, but you need a little drink to make you happy. You got Jesus, but you need a sister on the side. And that's all a lie, because what it's doing is the devil is trying to get you to think you need Jesus plus something else to comfort you. And it's a lie. Because once you get the dope, then he plays both sides of the fence. Oh, now you really are a Christian, aren't you? Look at what you just smoked. And you just called yourself a Christian. You're a big old fat liar. He plays both sides of the fence. And then when you come down, you feel guilt and shame. After you look at the porn and you think, man, this is really going to excite me. After you look at it, you feel ugly and dirty and shameful and condemnation. But that's exactly what the enemy tries to get you to think. It's Jesus plus this. No, it's Jesus. It's just Jesus. I don't need anything but Jesus. Yes. Do I have a wife? Sure. Do I have other things? Yes. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But I'm saying that if the devil comes and makes you think, well, this is going to bring you comfort, you remember it's not by accident that he calls himself the comforter. That's on purpose. He will comfort you if you will get in his presence and say, God, I so want to drink right now, but let me drink from the fountain of living water. God, do something for me that a drink can never do for me. God, I really want to toke on a joint right now because I'm just, oh, I need something. But God, would you be my high today? Would you lift me up from my low, God? Would you bring me out of this depression, God? Come on, somebody, give God some praise in his house here. Come on now. Okay. I want to be real clear. Okay? We should go to church. We should study the word. We should love people. We should get rid of bitterness. We should be modest in all things. We should live a life without sin. But I'm advocating holiness for different reasons. We should not think that my holiness, in other words, if I am holy enough, God will love me, God will accept me, God will answer my prayers, he'll heal me and prosper me. Because if we keep holiness as a score, here's how it works. God, 30 days, I didn't do anything. I didn't sin. So now you owe me. Okay? Or it goes like, God, I paid my tithes for 6 months. Now you owe me. Yo, I lie not. I never heard the audible voice of God, but I've heard it so clearly. I've thought it was. And I'll never forget, I was at my going out the back door of our current house. And I was about to grab the doorknob and the Holy Spirit spoke so strong to me. And here's what it says. Wayne, if you keep score, you're going to lose your marriage. Bam. Wayne, if you keep score, you're going to lose your marriage. Because here's how it works in a marriage. I did this for Janet. I'm expecting Janet to do this for me. I'm over here. You better make sure that you do in kind. And here's what I know, brothers and sisters. If you keep score, you're going to be disappointed because God don't always come when Lazarus dies the first day. He don't always show up when you think he should show up. And he don't always do it the way you think he should do it. And you're going to get all bent out of shape because you're keeping score. And I did, and I did, and I did, and I did. And now you didn't show up, Jesus, when I needed you the most. And unmet expectations because we're keeping score. I was so holy. I was given. I taught the junior high class. I showed up every time the doors were open. And now I got cancer in my body and don't look like you're doing jack squat. It's more real than what y'all are acting like. It's more real than what y'all are acting like. I did all of this and my husband died. I did all of this and my child's gone. I did all of this, and this is the thanks I get for it. You know what? It didn't bother God one bit that his sisters had to wait 4 days for him to show up. He didn't come up and say, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't show up when you thought I should. Please forgive. Boy, God didn't heal me after all I'd done, and he didn't heal me. you just told me why you didn't get healed. Because you're pointing to everything you did. Instead of pointing to everything he did for you. Listen, I don't say what I'm about to say. I don't say it to pat myself on the back. I say it in sincerity. I live more wholly on accident than most people do on purpose. And I don't say that boastfully. I know how many days I give to fasting and prayer, hours that I spend in the Word of God. And if I start keeping score, somewhere down the road, I'm going to get sideways with God, because God doesn't ever do it the way you think he ought to do it. He don't always answer. He don't always settle every account. Come October the 15th, he don't settle every account. And you're going to get sideways with him when you start keeping score based off of everything you've done. Because the root of that is performance. And the fruit of that root called performance is perfectionism. If I can just be perfect enough, God will love me. It's pride. Look at everything I've done, God, because of everything I've done, you should do this. Or it's fear, and the enemy comes in and says, you can never be good enough, no matter what you do. And now we fear because we can never be good enough for God. And those are the fruit of performance base. But the fruit, brothers and sisters, of relationship is love, joy, and peace. And I'm going to wrap this up. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. I mentioned this morning. Come help me, baby, real quick. I mentioned this morning, but I didn't make myself clear. If Janet walked in and I walked in every day and she asked me, Wayne, are you looking at another woman? And she did that every day. After a while, you know what? You just kind of get tired of hearing that. Listen, I love you. I love you, Janet. She don't ever do that. She's never done that. I'm just trying to give an illustration. Okay? I'm going to show you. She's never done that. Okay? I'm going to try to show you how we were raised up. We were raised up telling you not to sin, and we became so sin conscious that we did not become God conscious. Now, you got to think about that. We were raised up saying, don't you sin. Don't you go there. Don't you do this. Don't you wear that. God's going to get you. God's wrath is coming. God hates sin. And we taught you to be so sin conscious that we didn't teach you to be God conscious. Right. So it was like every day she walked in and says, hey, are you looking at another woman? After a while, you think, well, maybe I should. She said, you better not. And I'm not. Janet and I are more in love today than we've ever been. Okay? But here's what I want to tell you. We become sin conscious instead of God conscious. Now, guess what? You know why Janet doesn't have to say, do you look at another woman? Because she knows the relationship. And because there's relationship, the fruit of that relationship is ooh la la. Now, I'm going to behave myself.
You better.
But I'm going to tell you what Daddy always said. My Daddy always said there's two things that turn me on. That's the Holy Ghost and my wife. I love Janet now more than I have ever loved her. This is a relationship. So listen, when I got in there and I cleaned the house the other day, I didn't get in there because I'm trying to score points. I got in there because I wanted her to know, Janet, I appreciate what you've been doing. I want you to know that I love you. And I didn't go up and look at a little piece of paper that says we're married and say, I better do this. I did it because I love her, because I want her to know, Janet, you are my honey, you're my darling, you're my love. See what I'm saying? Did that make sense? Because now the relationship is not based off of let's keep score. The relationship is based off of what can I do for you? I'm sorry, y'all. Give me a couple more minutes. I'm sorry. But we taught you wrong. I'm serious. We didn't know it. We were trying to do the right thing because we didn't want you to sin. But in teaching you that way, we made you so sin conscious that you're no longer God conscious. And you're so afraid of sinning that you're no longer looking at the relationship. Here's, you know what? When you get so close and you're so in love, you're not really worried and thinking about other things. You want to be with your lover. You want to be with your best friend. You want to share that intimacy with that person, nobody else. Okay, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to get off of it. And I probably shouldn't say it. So since I shouldn't, I'm not. I want to. I'm going to say it. I say this with all sincerity. Janet, would you stand back up, please? I am, God as my witness in his church, the highlight of my life is sleeping. No, not my life, but my night. The highlight of every day is sleeping next to my honey. Serious. It is. It is. It's, there's no doubt. That's the highlight of my day, is to get to sleep next to Janet. I want for this church and I want for the body of Christ. Had someone tell me, Pastor, I can tell you're under a heavy load. I'm really praying for you. I am. I am. That's true. I am. I'm under a heavy load because I see the church, we're missing a glorious opportunity. Because we're coming out of duty. And we're not coming out of relationship. We're coming out of, we don't want to go to hell. Versus, we want to spend eternity with Jesus. We're coming for fire insurance. Instead of saying, God, you're so amazing. I can't even imagine that you would choose me. And you would take me out of a gutter and give me a calling. Blows my mind. And so our worship is basically reduced down to, I'm not really worshiping much because I'm really not happy with your performance and all I've done. It's not based off of how good that he is. What have you done for me lately? And so we come out of duty. And here's why my heart is heavy. Because I'm asking the question, we say that we have all of this, and I do believe we have it, but where is the joy? Y'all get honest. Where's the joy at? Where is it at? Where's the peace of God that surpasseth human knowledge? Where is that at? Where is the love? I'm not talking about a surface love that you can go to 3 minutes and meet and greet. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a love that is so strong that it literally changes and transforms people's lives. And we can do it. With the help and grace of God, we can change this community, but we got to change our mindset from a performance base to a grace base. Doesn't mean that we don't preach truth. You got to have both grace and truth. Grace without truth, nothing. Truth without grace, nothing. You want both. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I don't want just grace. I don't want just truth. I want both. I want the fruit of relationship, which is what? What's the top three? Love, joy, and peace. Righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's what I want for you. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said this, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll do what? I'll give you rest. You know what religion says? Religion says, do, do, do. Jesus says, done, done, done. Done. I did that. I did that. And I did that. You just come to me and I'll give you rest. How many Christians are really resting in their relationship with God? How many Christians are really have the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, and are just letting love flow out of you? How many? I'm not being rude. I'm not being ugly. I'm just under this weight because we're the hope of the world. And when the world peeks inside the church, they look. I don't see much there. I don't see much there. Okay, y'all give me 5 minutes and I promise you I'll wrap this up. What happened here this morning and what happened here tonight? I love all of you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But what happened here this morning and tonight, that's all religion. We all came out of duty this morning and we came out of duty tonight. That's all religious based. Every time we meet in the house of God, the Spirit of the Lord should be moving, flowing. I don't have to roll the aisles to say we had a move of God. But you know, and I know when it's here, and we all know when it's not. And all that we experienced this morning and even tonight is all religious based. It's not relationship based. Because in relationship, you just get lost in your lover. Wow. That makes sense? Okay. So, okay, Pastor. You know what? I listened to what you had to say this morning and tonight, and I'm going to think about it. That's all I ask is that you think about it. So, Pastor, if I decide that I think that you're in the Word, and I think that maybe you're onto something, then what do you want me to do? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start changing your mindset from a performance route to a relationship route. Okay? And I want you to stop keeping score and know that God knows what you need when you need it. And he doesn't show up when you want him, but he shows up right on time. And you thank him and you praise him during the whole process. Enter. Here's what the Bible says, and I'm hurrying. Y'all have been so kind to me. Thank you. This is what the Bible says. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight yourself. How many Christians do you see delighting yourself? I got to go to church tonight. If I don't, pastor's going to call me. No. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight. Do you know why? Do you know why they, one of the reasons why they didn't make it into the promised land? There's two reasons why they didn't make it. Here they are. Number one is unbelief. And then read in Exodus, because they did not delight themselves in the Lord. They didn't take any delight. God said, for those two reasons, you're not going in. We, TPC, and I'm done. We can create something here if we'll walk down this path that is supernatural. And it's life-changing. But I can't do it by myself. I'm going to be very, very clear, because when I preach something like this, people kind of tune in and tune out and hear what they want to hear. I'm not saying not be holy. I'm saying be holy, but be it for the right reasons. Okay? The right reasons. Don't think that your holiness just really gets God. Wow, that's amazing. My holiness is because my nature has been changed and I want to live holy, because I don't want to give a foothold to the devil to come in and destroy. Amen. Have I made sense? Do what you do because you want to do it as unto the Lord. Listen, Listen, I have no problem wearing long sleeves. I wear long sleeves most of the time. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with you being whatever your conviction is. If that is your conviction, you need to live by it. Because if you don't live by it, then you're sinning. So I don't have any problems with personal convictions. I have no problems with holiness. We should be, but we should be doing it for the right motives. Have I made sense? Okay. Father,
we pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.